Yes, amen, sister. I love that verse. So keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. All we need to do is keep focused on Him, and everything else falls into place.
Now read Proverbs 3 tonight. That's
real. Love that. Love that chapter.
Psalm 102 and 103 are powerful too.
Yes, indeed. 84, my Jesus, I love thee. Don't you love Him tonight, church? First, second, and fourth. Praise the Lord.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, is now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the horns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. On the fourth, in mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll in heaven so bright, I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now.
Glory to God, beloved. What a blessed Savior we serve tonight. We'll sing one more again after, but let's grab our Bibles right now at this time and open up to the book of Jude once again. Yes, sir. It's been 2 weeks since we've got pew Bibles, since we've been in the book of Jude, and it's good to get back to it. Praise the Lord. We've seen so much in the book after the over the past few months because it's so chock full of spiritual nuggets, particularly from the Old Testament. Jude uses example after example after example from the Old Testament for our learning. Amen? And there's a reason for that, beloved. The whole Bible is for you and me. These guys that cut up and chop up and split up the Bible and say, this isn't for me and that's not for you. Let me just make it clear. Every verse of the Bible is for you in one of three ways. Either doctrinally, historically, or spiritually. I'm so glad we don't have to take a lamb and go to the temple and sacrifice it, right? Because spiritually, we have a lamb, the Lamb of God, praise the Lord. But all the Bible is for you in one of those three ways. So in Jude tonight, let's look here. We're going to cover three more verses. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word in the book of Jude. We'll pick it up in our text in verse 18 tonight. We're moving right along. And you remember last time we saw in verse 17 that the apostle advised the believers to remember the words of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Amen? And folks, there's not a day that goes by that you and I don't need to remember the words of the apostles of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I need to have my nose buried in this book daily or I'm just not right. Look with me in verse 18. He says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these three verses tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the amazing and incredible sharp contrast that exists between the world and the child of God. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I had my fill of the world. I had my share of sin. I'm so thankful you saved me from that life, Lord. And you gave me a life worth living, Father. And I'm so thankful that Jude exhorts us tonight that because we have been born of the Spirit of God, we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a new life within. Literally, we are new creations of God. And we thank you for that. Bless your word tonight, Lord. Help us to glean from these texts and take and apply it to our Christian lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, folks. Now, the last time we left off with verse 17, where the Apostle Paul exhorted them to remember those words of warning that were spoken by the apostles of Jesus Christ. But here, beginning in verse 18 and 19, he will tell them why they need to do so. Amen? Go with me to Acts. Hold your place in Jude and flip back to Acts chapter 20. There's a strong reason why Jude had to warn them. And it has to do with the seducers and false teachers that were creeping in to the church. Look with me in Acts chapter 20. Paul had the same problem. And Paul warned the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Look with me at verse 28. This is his farewell address at Ephesus. He had spent 2 years with this church and they loved Paul. And Paul loved them and he was sad to go. But look with me at verse 28 here. And take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice whose blood purchased the church. The blood of God. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Yeah, these are the same wolves that Jude's writing about. Okay? Same group. Verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise. They're in the church, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. See that? Therefore watch and remember. There's that word again. Remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them which are sanctified. Paul says, yes, indeed, the wolves are going to creep in. Yes, the false teachers are going to come down the pike and they're going to try to deceive you. But the word of his grace is able to counter that. Amen? The word of his grace is able to keep you from deception. I'm so glad of that tonight. We're not deceived here at this church because we have the word of his grace. So this is why back in Jude, this is the same reason why Jude is warning these believers he's writing to. Because of these false teachers that were creeping in. Now, seven things, he warns them of concerning these evildoers. First, notice that they would mock the truth. Look with me in Jude. Look at verse 18. How that, he says, remember the words spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be what? Mockers. When? In the last time. Folks, that's the day we're living in. This is the last time. And there are mockers. Mockers, the Greek word is empaiters. Empaiters. It means to scoff, to mock, or to make light of. You try to tell them about Jesus? Try to tell them what that Bible says? Oh, that, please, I don't need that. I don't. Hey, you got religion. It'll wear off, you know. They don't want to hear it. Why? They're mockers. Listen now. Go with me to Job chapter 13. We have a world full of people that mock God. And it's a frightening thing Because you know that person does not know the truth. And one day they will answer to him. We have a desire to see them come to the truth, but if they don't, they have no hope. Look with me in Job chapter 13. Oldest book on the planet, you know, book of Job. More ancient than any, even it's even older than the Pentateuch. Yes, indeed. Job was contemporary with Noah. Look with me in chapter 13 of Job. And look with me at verse 9. Watch what Job says. You know what Job was going through. Verse 9. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord... I'm sorry, chapter 13, Bob, I'll get there. Verse 9. It is good that he should search... Is it good that he should search you out, God? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? Job says, guys, don't be careful with your words. Because what's coming out of your mouth is mocking God. And you don't want him to search that out. You'll be judged. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 14. God says, a person who mocks and will not receive correction is a fool. In Proverbs chapter 14. And this is what the world is just chock full of today. They mock and they scorn and they look down at people who believe this book. In Proverbs 14. Look at verse number 9. What's the first word?
Fools.
Fools. Not wise. Fools. Make a what?
Mock.
At sin. See, this is the other thing they do. Those who mock God and they mock his son, they mock the gospel and the Bible, they mock sin. They're saying, sin, nobody's going to hold me accountable for sin. Sin is, hey, even if I go to hell, I'll be drinking beer with all my buddies. No, you won't. This is how deceptive the devil is. Fools make a mock at sin, but amongst the righteous there is favor. Because you're not a fool, because you hearken unto God. Look with me in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3, just prior to 1 John. And look at this verse. In 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Why? That ye may be mindful of the words, there it is again, which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, what?
Scoffers.
Scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? You know, people don't believe anymore that Jesus is coming back. But he is, because the Bible says so. And they just don't believe it. If they believed it, they'd repent and get saved quick. Now, they're mockers. To mock is to make light of. Secondly, tonight, back in our text in Jude, chapter of your choice, verse 18. Secondly, observe when they would mock the truth. Verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. In the last time. That is, in the last days of this dispensation, which we're living in, folks. This is to us tonight. Thirdly, notice what they follow. Verse 18. What do they follow? How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now, think with me, church. If what you are following after, you know, here you are, you're walking, and you're following this guy. Whoever he is, you're following him, right? He's leading you. So, whatever you're following, he turns that way, you turn that way, he turns that way, you turn that way. Whatever you're following is controlling you, right? So, if you're following, look what he says here in verse 18. How that he told you, there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. They're following the dictates and rule and desires of the flesh. Okay? Not according to the scripture. And so this is what they're being controlled by is the flesh, not the spirit. Now, folks, let me say something. These people that Jude is writing about, they don't have an option. You can't walk after the Spirit of God if you don't have the Spirit of God. Amen? So they have no other option but to walk after the flesh. It's all they know. It's all you knew. It's all I knew before I got saved. It's the dictates of the flesh. But when you have the Holy Spirit, now you've got two options. You don't walk after the Spirit automatically. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to purposely follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is what they do. They walk. This is what they follow. They walk after the lusts of the flesh. Now, go with me to 2 Peter again, chapter 2. Hold your place in Jude. We're coming back. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look with me at verse 10. Speaking of these same bunch that Jude speaks of. But chiefly them, verse 10, chiefly them that walk after, there's that wording again, they're following something. They walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, that's sexual immorality. Look, drop down to verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, that's worthlessness. What they say is worthless. The Holy Spirit's got a sense of humor. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. They're trying to get true believers to follow them. You see that? And they do it how? Through the lust of the flesh. You know, folks, I want to make a statement. This may shock you. But there are preachers behind pulpits, female ones. You ever heard of Paula White? I mean, man, she's getting people to follow after the lust of the flesh. You know? Because why? Because it's not of God. And they're alluring. And they're following the flesh and not the Holy Spirit. This is serious business. Go with me to Jude again. Verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after, following after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Now, go with me. Flip over to 1 John. Here's what I want you to see. In 1 John chapter 2, I want you to see that all people are walking after one of two things. Look at this. In 1 John chapter 2, look with me here. Don't miss this. In 1 John chapter 2, look with me at verse 16. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. See that? But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. John says by the Holy Ghost here that there are people, millions and millions of people, that are following after something that is going to vanish one day. You see that? Look at verse 17 again. In verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. These guys who are following and walking after their own lust are following after something that will be destroyed one day. And they along with it. But it's an everlasting destruction. Isn't that sad? That people in the world are following something that's going to let them down forever? Eternally? Wow! That's powerful. Fourthly tonight. Observe what they do. Back to Jude. Look at verse 19. What do they do? Verse 19 tells us, these be they who, what's the next word?
Separate themselves.
Folks, listen carefully. There are three things that people separate themselves from and three things that they separate themselves unto. Jude is saying that these people intentionally separate themselves from God, from His Son, and from His people. Okay? The church. And he's saying that they separate themselves unto, unknowingly, the devil, although some know it. They had a satanic black mass in Oklahoma. Does anybody see that on the news? A satanic black mass. And the city sanctioned it and they let them rent the civic center because so many people bought tickets. Unbelievable. You know what they're doing? They're bringing down the wrath of God upon Oklahoma. I mean, man, these people think. But look what he says here. They're separating themselves unto the devil. Okay? Unto the devil. And unto, look at, unto the world and unto the flesh. Now, The saddest part of this self-separation is that Jesus Christ's arms are wide open to them the whole time. You know that? Jesus wants them to come, but they won't. They won't. They say, no, I don't need Jesus in my life. The majority of people are that way, folks. Look at me in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's final chapter, by the way. He's going home to be with Jesus, amen? And he's not pouting, he's shouting. He's glad. He's going home to be with the Lord. He's excited. Nero beheaded him after this chapter was written. You know that. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Look at what Paul says about it. Verse number 2. He says, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own what? Lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what that is? That's Osteen. That's Copeland. That's Gloria, whatever it is. You know, that's all these ministers, let me use the term loosely, who get up and they won't preach against sin. Oh, something good is going to happen to you today. And the syrup and the honey is just flowing down his cheek, you know, and it's just so sweet. And there's no preaching of truth. Joel Osteen is not a preacher. He's a motivational speaker. He never should have called himself a pastor of a church. He's a motivational speaker. They're not spelt the same, as Ruckman would say. Now, listen, folks. This is important. He says, preach the word. Timothy, the time is going to come. Well, they will not hear sound doctrine. Why is there empty pews in the church tonight? Most people, most Christians don't want to hear the truth. They got their own agenda. Entertain me, pastor. Give me a rock band, you know, whatever. Give us some social entertainment. Now, folks, look with me in Acts chapter 3. Speaking of this, what they do. In Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching up a storm. And something incredible happens here. In Acts chapter 3, look with me at verse number 23. Don't miss this. Peter says in 19, repent ye. That's the message. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, that as you know is the prophecy from Deuteronomy chapter 18 of that prophet, Messiah. Okay, every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, notice here that he says in Acts 3, verse 23, it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Why are they going to be destroyed? Why? What have they done to deserve to be destroyed with everlasting destruction? They have separated themselves from Jesus Christ. They've done it on purpose. Why? Look what it says, verse 23. They will not hear that prophet. They won't hear Jesus Christ. And if a man will not hear Jesus Christ, he will perish. He's got no hope. He's got no way to escape the wrath of God forever. Look with me in John chapter 5. John's gospel, my favorite. And look with me at verse number 39. John 5, 39. And this, chapter 5 and verse 39. Search the scriptures, Jesus says, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Now, let me ask you a question. In verse number 40, did it say they could not come to Jesus?
No.
It said they would not. There's a difference. It's not a matter of somebody not being able to do something. It's a matter of them willing not to do something. You see the difference? Your will is involved. Don't believe the Calvinists. You have a free will. You chose Jesus Christ, glory to God. But these people refuse. They will not come to me, Jesus said, that they might have life. How sad! Breaks my heart. Because most people fall into this category. Fifthly, back in Jude, quickly. In Jude, fifthly, notice what they are. Notice what they are. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual. sensual. What's that mean? They're not spiritual, they're sensual. To be sensual is to be given over to the sensual nature, the flesh, with its subjection to the appetites and passions of it. The word is psychosis. Psychosis. That's sensual. Go to James. Hold your place in Jude. Flip back to the book of James, just after Hebrews. And look with me in James chapter 3. Here is a powerful passage, folks. And it has the same Greek word. Look with me in James chapter 3. Look at this. Verse 13. Question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that's your lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. God's wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, same Greek word, devilish. Did you see what James couples the word sensual with? Demonic activity. It's devilish. It's devilish. Sensualness is devilish. It's demon controlled. And verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But, I like this, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That's the Holy Spirit. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in them that make peace. Glory to God. There's a better way, he's saying. But these, they're sensual. And it's not good. It's a dangerous way to live. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why they're that way. Now, sixthly tonight, almost done. Observe their spiritual condition. Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves. Our doors are open to anybody. You know, I'm praying God will send us some hell's angels. Come on here, guys, to get saved, you know. But I don't care who comes. I want them to be saved. I want them to come to Jesus. Look what he says, verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Having not the capital S, notice, it's not the human spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. They don't have the Holy Ghost. You see that? Now, observe here, beloved. Here is the bedrock foundation of their problem. They do not possess the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, a man cannot live right. You can't. It's just not possible. That's why the man in the White House makes unbiblical, ungodly decisions for America. Because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. You can't make intelligent decisions without the Holy Spirit. Because your mind is not right. Like that maniac of Gadara. He wasn't in his right mind till he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Now, God's Spirit is called here in the Bible the Spirit of Holiness. Why? He produces holiness in the life of all those who he indwells. Listen, I did not say sinlessness. We all sin. And that's why we pray for forgiveness daily. But I said holiness. Listen, we won't have sinlessness till we get our glorified bodies and we're in heaven. Amen? We'll have sinless, glorified body. Eternally, you couldn't sin if you tried to with your glorified body. Glory, it's sinless forever. But right now, we battle against sin daily because we have the Holy Spirit and we still have the flesh. But look it, the Holy Spirit is able to sanctify our daily walk, to purify our hearts and minds, and cause us to walk in Him, not in the flesh. How's He do it? By the instrumentality of His Word. It's not by speaking in tongues. It's not by this crazy charismatic, you know, shenanigans that goes on in some churches. It's by the Word of God that He sanctifies us and purifies us. This they lack because they have not the Spirit of Christ. Romans chapter 8, quick. Hold your place in Jude. We're coming right back. In Romans chapter 8, Paul spells it out in black and white for every human being. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 9. But, brethren, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice capital S, the Holy Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man, Mr. President, Mr. Garbage Collector, Mr. Hockey Player, whatever you might be. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. And you can't live for God until you get born again and you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's so important. These folks lack the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. Watch what Jesus says about his Spirit and what he will do for his followers, for those who open their arms to him. In John chapter 14, and then we'll go to our final point. In John 14, look with me at verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep Moses' commandments. No, wrong version. out of bounds. He's not trying to put you back under the law. You are not under law. You are under the law of the Spirit. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, Jesus' commandments are enhanced from Moses' commandments. Moses said, don't commit adultery. Jesus says, don't look on the woman to commit adultery with her in your heart. See, so he's saying, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, what is the commandment of God? That ye, begins with a B, believe, right? It's not a word. It's believing by faith that in him whom he has sent. He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, Jude's writing about, Peter's writing about, the world cannot receive. Why? That's not fair. God's not fair. Wait a minute, keep reading. Whom the world cannot receive. Why, Jesus? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus says certain people do not have the Spirit of God because they don't know me. You have to know. You have to come to Jesus Christ to receive the Spirit of God. This they refuse to do. And that's why they live the way they live. Back to Jude. Let's finish up with our seventh point. Observe the responsibility of the believer. We've said all that to say this. What is the responsibility of the true believer? Verse number 20. Clearly, Jude writes, but ye, beloved. Before we read this, I'm so glad for verse 20. Because for 19 verses, we've had nothing but gloom and doom. Oh, he's been raking them upside one down the other. Amen? I mean, he's been really lambasting these false professors. But ye, beloved, I love it, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I should say, speaking in tongues. Is that? No. That's not what it says. It's not talking about speaking in tongues. The Bible knows how to write that real clear. And that gift has ceased. He's talking about praying according to the Spirit's will. Amen? That's praying in the Holy Ghost, according, in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Now, I love the contrast we find here. Church, you and I, who do have the Holy Spirit, are not to lay idle and do nothing. Passivity should not be in the Christian life, because the devil will give you something to do. This is why we need to be busy about our Father's business. Listen carefully. We are not to do nothing. We must be busily engaged in the spiritual exercise of building ourselves up. Our spiritual superstructure must be built in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must add to it daily. Listen now. Spiritual growth does not occur by accident. No, we must be daily endeavoring to grow stronger and stronger in Jesus Christ, right? And the instrumentality that the Holy Spirit will use to do this is his sword, the Word of God. I have no other message for you. I have no magic formula. I've got something better. I've got the Word of God. This book, Paul said in Acts 20, verse 28, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. This book is where the power is. Not in Bob Oliver. Not in any man. The power is in God's Word and God's Spirit. Amen? Now, listen carefully in closing. His sword, which is the Word of God, will build you up spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll finish up right here. We'll be done. 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's what we need to do, church. Look at it. In verse 17, Peter writes, ye therefore, beloved, saved people, brethren, Seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the what?
Knowledge
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter says, here's what you need to be doing. Don't fall from your steadfastness, but grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Here it is. Now, I'm a security guard, brother, at GE. And I work the night shift, 12 midnight to 8 a.m. But I love it because I get to grow in knowledge. The guys at work call my shack, my God shack, the God shack. That's a God shack. He's in there preaching away, you know. I guess I'm my best sermons at work. But this is what we need to do. We need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's where the power is. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for your word. How we thank you, Lord, that we are not led away with the error of the wicked. Tonight, we are growing. We are being built up spiritually by your Holy Spirit and word and grace. Lord, it's such a blessing and a treasure to have your Holy Spirit in this earthen vessel. Lord, we possess something the world needs, the Spirit of Christ. Our hearts break tonight, Lord, for the lost. Our souls are burdened to win them to you, O Lord. And we pray that you'd make it possible, Lord, for us to fill up this church with hungry souls for your word and hungry souls thirsting to worship the King of Kings. Lord, we just ask you to do a work through us. Yes, we're small, Lord, but you don't need many things to work through. We're so glad, Lord, that all you needed was 5 loaves and 2 small fishes to feed some 20,000 people. Lord, we offer ourselves to you. Take us, break us, make us what you'd have us to be, and use us for your honor and glory in this last time, these last days, that we may bring some souls to heaven with us before that trumpet blows. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals. We'll finish up with a hymn. We'll stand and open up to, oh, praise the Lord. Open anyway, they're all good. 67. Hymn 67. And we're going to sing the 1st, 2nd, and 4th. I love these midweek services, folks. It's such a refreshment, such a blessing just to come together and seek His face. Yes, hymn 67. Listen to the words. I hear the Savior sing, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's thoughts and melt the heart of stone. Amen. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Glory to God. On the 4th. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
skin and left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Yes, indeed. What a Savior. Glory to God. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Lord, it's so good to be back in the house once again, Lord, to hear your word and to be with folks who are here only because they want to hear your word and to follow it, Lord, and to be with you. We pray, Lord, you'd be with those who are ill and cannot be with us tonight, Lord. You'd bring them through to health once again so they can join us and we can have a full house and praise you as we should, Lord. We just pray, Lord, you watch over each of us. You keep us healthy. You keep us walking safely and steadfastly with you, Lord. And keep us following your word. Let's get in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.